listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
This is the Tennis.com podcast. This is Ed McGrogan. We are here, as always, with Steve Tigner. Wanted to catch up on the clay season, which has begun. It also began last week in perhaps a different way. I think you put it so well, the one-week U.S. clay court season came and went. And, you know, that gives way, really, to, you know, what most people, of course, picture as really the start of the whole dirt season in Monte Carlo. Always a good one to watch from the viewing perspective enjoyment, except that, you know, no matter how good they make TVs or HDMI cables, you can never really see the ball that great. And this is the only tournament that does it for me. But this is a good one to watch.
Yeah, this is a good one to watch and a good draw this year. You know, it's not mandatory anymore, so you don't know exactly who's going to come from year to year, but it seems like it's been getting stronger in the last few years. You always have Rafa, you always have Djokovic because he lives there. But Federer and Wawrinka, the two finals from last year, they're back. You know, I think everybody wants to get started on, you know, with the clay season. It's still, the winner still gets 1,000 points, so it's still a really valuable tournament. I feel like this year there's a lot at stake for a lot of, you know, for a lot of different guys, through the, you know, through like the top 10. There's a, you know, there's some interesting storylines as far as, you know, how they're going to start out the clay season.
Yeah, and since Rafa, you know, sort of ceded this title away a couple years ago, this has become a fairly interesting tournament. Monte Carlo was really the stronghold that Rafa had never almost let slip, even more so than Roland Garros for a while. That changed, and we've had, you know, last year Wawrinka won, as you said. Djokovic has won before, and you know, we've seen a lot of, you know, very good matches here over the past few years. And, you know, maybe this is the right time. It would be remiss to go into this event, you know, without addressing Rafa really first. You know, it's not only the event to do it, it's the time of year to do it. I mean, overall, where do you see Nadal, you know, after what has been a hard court stretch that, and, you know, for a little bit, a couple clay events, that really overall hasn't been that impressive?
Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't play better in Indian Wells and especially in Miami. I thought he played well pretty much at the high, you know, top level in the last tournament in South America that he played on clay. And I thought he played pretty well in Indian Wells. He got maybe a little unlucky against Raonic, but then he just didn't have it in Miami. And now I feel like he's working, you know, from all reports, he's working hard to sort of get his game in order for the clay season. Usually, he comes in, dominates this tournament, and then dominates clay. That's been the rule overall. It hasn't been for the last couple of years, but it seems like he's thinking more long term this time rather than winning this tournament and automatically and getting things started. Sort of, you know, he's sort of feeling his way back into still searching for his best game and maybe trying to peak at the French Open. So we'll see where he is. He has a tough draw. He got maybe a little bit of a break today when Dominic Thiem lost to a French wild card. But if, you know, Rafa could play Isner, and then he could play Ferrer in the quarters just to get to Djokovic in the semis. So you know,
yeah,
this is not the old easy Monte Carlo road for him.
No, exactly, and part of that is because, you know, the fact that Nadal could play Djokovic in the semifinals at all is almost startling. You know, Rafa down to number 5 in the rankings, and like you said, he is put in his quarter of the draw. You know, the Masters draws are really concentrated anyway, and I think you really see that this week, where this is not a large Masters event at all, you know, especially compared to what we just saw in Indian Wells and Miami. You know, Rafa could, you know, face Ferrer, who, and you know, we've talked so many times about really the career that these two have gone on. It's almost, you know, a total opposite of what they've been able to achieve in terms of titles and, you know, really, of course, Grand Slam titles. But Ferrer, you know, as we've been, I think, willing to do almost every year, kind of in January, we're kind of ready to say, well, I think his run, you know, he's got to run out of steam at some point. But this has actually been one of his best years ever, actually, and not just, you know, winning, you know, a random title. He's, you know, been beaten very few times, and, you know, you actually did pick him for what it's worth in your preview to beat Rafa here. So, you know, what about Ferrer? It gives you so much confidence in him right now.
Well, yeah, I think Ferrer, I think this is he's one of the guys who is in an interesting position. He, like you said, we started the year sort of thinking he, you know, maybe we'd be starting to say goodbye to him. He was down, you know, seemed to be heading out of the top 10, 33 years old, but he started out the year now 23-3, has three titles. He's the fifth seed here, so he's, you know, he's been as good as he's ever been. One of those losses was to Djokovic in a good two-set match in Miami. So, and also Ferrer beat Rafa here last year. Of course, his record is bad against Nadal's, you know, 22-6 lead for Rafa. But I think if Ferrer is going to beat him, this is the place. This seems to be the tournament. Nadal still a little unsettled. Ferrer obviously playing well. He won easily today. I feel like this is one where it could be an even matchup. You know, even when Nadal has beaten him in some cases, obviously there's been a lot of blowouts, but there's been close matches too. So I feel like this was a possibility for Ferrer. He won't necessarily come into this match thinking, you know, he doesn't have much of a chance.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I have to say that would be a very, very good way to start Friday with that type of match there. And like you said,
I also think with Ferrer, sorry, that this is the point. You know, he's had his good record to start the year. Now, what, you know, how far can he take that? Well, how much should we believe in that? Could he actually become a real contender for the French Open? So I feel like this is an interesting event and time, you know, spring for him.
Yeah, it's an interesting juncture for sure. And and Ferrer has gone, you know, pretty much all of these events, as you say, Ferrer has, you know, had success to varying degrees in the past. And and, you know, he will get, like you said, he's in the middle of this draw as well. But of course, he'll, you know, where Rafa is, wouldn't have to face Isner potentially. Jill Simone appears to be, you know, who he will face next. So I think it's well put that Ferrer is really one of the players to watch in this tournament overall. And you know, as we said, you know, whomever escapes from that quarter, you know, certainly in all likelihood, it's almost impossible to pick against Djokovic right now to you know, get out of his part. He got through a very easy opener today against a qualifier, Albert Ramos. You know, the players that reside in his section of the draw, you know, a few of these matches are just ending now as we talk about this. But Djokovic overall, this is really, I guess what we get to see about Djokovic is, you know, you could certainly expect him to finally, you know, throw in one match that just doesn't go his way, or just run into someone who can't be beat it that day. But it is almost still hard to picture of, because really over the past few years he's basically been just as good on clay, except for the one match of the French Open, as he's been on hard courts.
Yeah, you know, I think he comes in to this season where he's been, you know, the last four seasons he's number one. He's the best. He's probably even, or maybe even a favorite over Rafa for the clay season in general. Just the one, he's won this tournament. He beat Nadal pretty easily here in the final 2 years ago. Just that one thing stands in his way, sort of mentally, is beating Nadal at the French Open in 3 out of 5 on clay. That's really the only thing that he hasn't conquered in his career to this point. There just doesn't seem to be any sort of let off for him. I don't think he's going to run through the clay season the way Rafa used to. I think there's definitely going to be ups and downs for him. He was almost out of the tournament in Miami to Dolgopolov. So Djokovic can still, a lot like Serena on the other side, he can still throw in a bad match sort of when you don't expect it. But his draw looks good. His quarterfinal would possibly be against Cilic or Tsonga.
Yeah, I was about to say that match does came about after today's result. Between those two, that another kind of really nice third rounder that we'll see as well.
And so I think Djokovic looks, I think, he looks good for the semis, and I don't see any. I think he would be favored here against Rafa, unless obviously against Ferrer, unless Nadal can really start to turn things around right away.
And I think one thing I'll say about Djokovic too to close on him is really that with him and Serena, like you said, they are certainly not going to be invincible all the time, but over time what I have seen with Djokovic, as I think I've seen over previous years with Federer and Nadal when they were at their absolute best, is really his ability to win when he is not at his best. And that has become more and more common. Not only as an opponent do you have to, kind of deplete Djokovic to the point where you might entertain the idea of an upset and the buzz kind of happens, but it's really, just as hard almost to kind of put that final nail in with a player who has just won so much over the past half decade now, just about, and we're really, when we see players and Djokovic himself referring to him being in his prime, in his absolute best, it's almost a universal opinion, and we've really kind of only begun to hear that, and I think that speaks so much of where he is right now, really, in his entire career in the game.
Yeah, I also think right now is a good time for him off the court. He's had some distractions in the clay season the last couple of years. His grandfather died 1 year during one of these tournaments. He also had an ankle problem. He's had various little things, and one might still crop up. He had also a shoulder problem 1 year, but this time he seems, there doesn't seem to be anything standing in his way at this point. He seems good off the court, and he couldn't be any more confident, I don't think, right now on the court, coming off winning Indian Wells and Miami back to back.
Absolutely, yeah, and what he or Rafa or Ferrer or somebody else could face on the other side of the draw is a pretty kind of captivating draw to look at. Some of the matches that we're going to see pretty soon. Gael Monfils takes on Dolgopolov, Dimitrov, Fanini. I mentioned these two because both Dimitrov and Monfils, two players who haven't had great starts to this season at all. They both win three setters today to bring them out of the opening round there, and they're both in the last quarter of the draw. Also features Wawrinka, Federer. Juan Monaco, really nice clay court player. There's a lot to this section of the draw, kind of in opposition to the third quarter. There's, if anybody has read Steve's preview, you'll kind of see that they got the short shift, and there was a reason why. It just, things sort of bubbled up in this last quarter of the draw, and it should be, I think a series of good matches to really see who comes out of it.
Yeah, I think Federer has, he's got an interesting draw, potentially a tough draw here. Like you said, Monfils and Dimitrov won in three sets in matches that you could see them losing. They haven't had great starts, like you said. Sometimes they can give away or give away matches, but both of them fought through some pretty tough 6-4 in the third wins. I think Monfils, if he can get past Dolgopolov, could give a real scare to Federer. He beat him in Davis Cup last year, and then they played that close match, nearly beat him, had match points against him at the U.S. Open last year. I think that's, especially on clay, that if Monfils is something close to his best, that'll be an obstacle for Federer.
We are effectively in France too with this event, but then not that that really matters against someone like Federer, of course. But
and I think Wawrinka is another guy who is an interesting case right now. He hasn't had a great last month. He started out the season well, but he's down to number 9 in the rankings because he couldn't defend his Australian Open title, and now he has his second biggest title in Monte Carlo to defend, 1,000 more points here. So this is, you know, is an interesting moment for him as to whether will he drop more? Will he start sort of another surge? He obviously likes this court. He won it here last year. And he's also in Federer's, there's a possibility for a quarter against Federer. And I guess the last person I talk about in this half is Milos Raonic. I think he has a good draw to reach the semis. He had a pretty good clay season last year, the quarters of the French Open. He lives in Monte Carlo. The guy he is supposed to play in the quarters, Berdych, he's won 3 out of 4 matches there. So this is another place for maybe Raonic to spring a little surprise. We'll see what happens. He's obviously shown some good signs this year, beating Nadal earlier this year.
Yeah, he takes the number 4 seed here because of a couple absences, Nishikori and Andy Murray. You know, as you said, the opposite top seed to him is Berdych. You know, both of these guys, you know, certainly capable on clay, more than capable, of course, where they're ranked. I think they both ultimately really, you know, in the end will get kind of judged on how the rest of the summer goes for them. I think there's just, you know, so many very prominent clay players in this draw, and we'll see really where you know, how this whole half shakes out. It's one where, as you say, there's a lot to be gained and lost here with Wawrinka, you know, defending 1,000 points. You know, his ranking could certainly tumble a bit with an early exit. Federer, you know, this is one of the few Masters events that he has never won. Has really been stymied by Nadal for years and years here, but, you know, ultimately couldn't beat Wawrinka here last year in the final. You know, the other interesting thing about Monte Carlo as well, you know, even though kind of attrition has already taken out a lot of it, but you have Americans in this draw, which for many years really was actually never the case. This was, you know, kind of this was an event to be stayed away from, to really kind of wait until the clay season advances a little bit closer to Roland Garros. But yesterday you had, you know, an All-American match, Isner and Steve Johnson. You know, Dennis Kudla also qualifying here. It's pretty, you know, I think a little bit of the way, I guess, maybe things have changed a little bit over the past few years. I think back to where, you know, when Andy Roddick was playing and Blake, and when those are the top American guys, it seemed like this was not, and that's not to say that this is any big achievement just by playing, but it does speak a little bit to where we see the Americans overall in this clay court season, and a lot of that happened last week, which I alluded to earlier. You know, we'll have to see what, you know, what, if anything, can be changed differently from a U.S. point of view.
Yeah, I think Isner is another interesting case. He, you know, he looked good in his first round. He's looked good in general for the last month. He plays Troitsky next, which is, you know, that's sort of, I think, a toss-up. Troitsky's been making a long comeback after being suspended. So that'll be interesting. And if Isner does get past that, he could play Nadal, which will also be, you know, obviously that's an interesting match. He's the only player, I think, to push, besides Djokovic, to push Nadal to 5 sets at the French Open.
Yep. Yeah, it's that was a few years back, and you know, the one of the many ups and downs Isner has had throughout his career that just kind of eventually settles itself in a tiebreaker for sure. Yeah, well, you know, the rest of this week really is you know, there's some Fed Cup as well, and actually Serena will be playing that for the U.S. Venus will not. That just came out today that she will not be playing in that. And then you know, the clay season continues to kind of move along for a few weeks until it really picks up in with the big combined events in the month of May, and at that point it really sort of escalates pretty quickly toward Roland Garros. So we will catch up again next week on the podcast with Steve Tigner and myself. Again, thank you for listening to the Tennis.com podcast.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.